we were reminded of how amazing, how awesome you are in all your glory. Father, your kindness, your grace, your love. Yet your sovereignty, how powerful you are. All knowing, everlasting, creator of all things, God. Holy and righteous. You are the one true God. And we come this morning, Lord, bowing our hearts before you, desiring to grow closer to you, to grow stronger in our relationship with you, to know you more, to know more about what it looks like to follow you. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be clear, Father, and able to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and guidance this morning. Let us lay aside those many distractions of this morning, temptations that come our way. Help us to overcome our flesh, even as we sit here this morning, that we may hear from you, respond to you in love and obedience. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Last week, we learned about the root cause of this ongoing spiritual battle. We're still continuing with this series on spiritual warfare. And the root cause is glory, God's glory. God is worthy of all glory. He desires to be glorified, and therefore Satan desires or seeks to steal God's glory. He wants to gain here on earth what he could not gain in heaven. Satan, in his evil plan, wants to keep people from knowing God personally. He wants to keep people from having forgiveness of their sin. He wants to provoke us with doubt and fear in order that through our lives we may steal God's glory. Today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. You don't, there should be a UPT one there in front of me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Today, I want us to gain some insight into the enemy we face. I want us to gain some insight into his battle plans. I want us to grow in our understanding so that we can stand guard and be watchful in our faith. The first thing we learn here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 8 first, is to be alert and recognize the enemy. Be alert and recognize the enemy. Look there at verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Here's something we all need to understand. In your life, before you knew Christ, whether you want to admit it or not, you were on the enemy's team, living according to his rules. 1 John 3:10 states, by this it is evident you are children of God and you are children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Or as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, so clearly states, listen to what he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Wow, that makes it very clear. We used to, even unknowingly, follow the one who is now our enemy. You see, when you believe in Christ and who he is and what he did for you on the cross and how he rose from the grave and you turned away, you acknowledged your sin, you turned away and you turned to God and asked his forgiveness, you surrendered your life to him, and you did that, you were not only forgiven of all your sin, you were not only adopted by God into his family as his child, and you were not only given eternal life, you are now at odds with your old master. He is now your enemy. And in this passage, it says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, I'm sure many of you have watched nature shows before at some point, and then you watch those lions and how they hunt and how they stalk their prey, very sly. Can you imagine being hunted down by a lion? Here it says, just like a lion, Satan is hunting for someone to devour. This is not a game. This is a serious matter, and we clearly see, if we look around us, that the enemy has made a huge impact on this world. We need to be alert. We need to recognize our enemy and better understand his attacks, even those subtle attacks. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus was warning Peter about the enemy and the temptation that was going to come his way. But Peter didn't listen to his warning, and he fell to this temptation. This spiritual battle wages on every day, and our lives are greatly affected by it. And we might haphazardly just take a day off from our relationship with God. You might decide, you know what, I'm just too tired, or I'm too busy to spend time with God today. But Satan never takes a day off. And we have an enemy that is relentless in his desire to devour us, to corrupt us, to bring us down, to use us in any way possible to steal the glory of God. We have to be careful that we don't make the same mistake that Peter did. We need to humble ourselves and realize, you know what? I cannot fight this battle on my own. We cannot fight this battle in our own strength. If we're going to be alert, if we're going to stand guard against the attacks, if we're going to have our minds prepared and with self-control, we need to better understand our enemy and his strategy. And this is what's so amazing. God has not left us in the dark about this. In fact, his word shines a light on our enemy and exposes him for who he is. Let's start with Satan's go-to battle plan. Deceit. To bring about as much deception as he can in the minds of people. Satan's a deceiver. Now listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their name will correspond to their deeds. Satan loves to deceive people, especially God's children. God teaches us in these verses that Satan is pretending to be something he is not. He's disguising himself. He disguises himself as an angel of light, as someone who's righteous, in order to lead others astray so that we are deceived. We fall prey to these lies and his deception. So do those who follow him, in a sense. You know, Satan has all kinds of disguises all around the world, even the false idols and false gods that people worship. Satan deceives us by using what seems to be good to lead us astray, using the platform that he has in the culture and philosophies and false religions of this world. He has many ways of deception. Deception through distraction. Deception through business. Success. False narratives and many other so-called good things. Which leads us to better understand the nature of his character. God teaches us in John 8:44 that Satan is a liar. Listen to what it says. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan deceives through his many lies. He is a liar. We learn here in this verse that Satan is the father of lies. He is so good at tricking us or deceiving us into believing what is not true. Because this is his nature. This is part of his character. He will convince you to believe something that completely goes against God's word, completely contrary to God's ways. And many times he deceives even followers of Christ into believing that something false is actually Christian. He wants to make us doubt what God says is true. And this has to bring into your mind that the beginning, back in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 7, you remember the story about Adam and Eve in the garden. First, Satan uses the disguise of a snake. He portrayed himself to be someone who knew it all more than they did. And then he lied and deceived even into believing a lie. Satan took what God had said and changed it into a lie. He confused her with things that sounded like they were from God, but were not. He instilled doubt in her mind so much that she even changes God's word herself. And this led to their disobedience to God. It's so easy to fall prey to that. Satan has not changed after all these years. Still today, he deceives us with lies. He lies to us. He is our enemy. He wants to steal God's glory by getting us to disobey God. He wants you to act just like the culture trains you to. He wants your family to look just like other families do that follow the course of this world. He wants your life to get bogged down with sin so that you're not able to glorify God. Therefore, he can steal you. He wants to make you doubt what God has told you. Maybe what God has called you to. Maybe in this time of praying through where God wants you to serve, he's leading you to serve in a new way. Maybe you've never served in this capacity before. Well, Satan wants you to believe you can't do it. That you're not qualified. That maybe you're not educated enough. But according to God's word, that's just another one of his lies. You see, instead of listening to what God says, instead of listening to what God promises us, we begin to believe Satan's lies. And it's not hard when our flesh so easily lies into it. You see, Satan takes God's word and he runs it through the filter of his culture and his worldview, and he uses that to twist God's word into a lie, just like he did with Adam and Eve. And then without even knowing it, we begin to walk according to Satan's way of life instead of God's way of life. I can just imagine Satan's laugh as he uses that deception to steal God's glory. I don't think any of us want to give Satan the opportunity to use our lives to steal God's glory. And that's why we need to wake up. That's why we need to be alert and stand guard against attack. It's why we need to have our minds focused on the right things so that he doesn't take advantage of us and deceive us. Therefore, not only do we need to know the nature of our enemies, we need to know his battle plans. We need to know how he works. Satan basically has three major tactics, three major categories under which he has tempted humankind from the very beginning. And we can see how these three things play out in several different passages. I want to point you to 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16. We looked at this not too long ago. It says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Are you aware of these three tactics here in this passage? Do they sound a little familiar? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Satan's been using these for a long, long time. And it's still the same today because it works so well. But this world is under the sway of the evil one, as we learned back in 1 John 5:19, and he will use these three strategies to take you down, to corrupt your mind, to corrupt our lives. We've already talked about Adam and Eve. Listen to the deception here. Listen to how he has deceived Eve. In this deception, it says here that Eve saw that the tree was good for food. Oh, it was so tasty. Lust of the flesh. And it says that she saw that it was a delight to the eyes. It's such a beautiful fruit. Lust of the eyes. We got lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And then it says that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. The pride of life. Satan says, God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. Of life. And it says that she took of the fruit she ate, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. This story is full of Satan's deception and lies, just as the world does, promising everything, but only giving in return more pain, more suffering, more dissatisfaction, always wanting more and more and more. If we were to look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the desert. He uses the same three tactics. He tells Jesus, hey, turn these stones into bread and you can eat. You've been fasting all this time, aren't you hungry? Lust of flesh. He takes Jesus and shows him all these kingdoms. I will give you the world. Lust of the eyes. Jesus, you're Jesus. Throw yourself off this temple, and surely the angels will catch you. Pride of life. I want us to take a moment to ask ourselves how Satan uses these same tactics to tempt us today in the world we live in, such as the lust of the flesh. We learn from the world, which so often lines up with what our flesh wants. When you want something, yeah. That's the American way, right? We live in a world where we're told, go out and get what you want. You deserve it. We're told it's a good thing to fulfill all your many desires. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. Satan knows what your fleshly desires are. And the world around you that he's working in will tempt you over and over, trying to get you to give in. Think of all the advertisements online. All the TV commercials that tempt you to fulfill every one of your desires. Satan wants you to live by the flesh, not by the spirit. He wants you to give in to the flesh and let it take control. And every time you give in to it, it gets easier and easier and easier. But at the same time, it becomes harder and harder and harder for you to hear what the Spirit is telling you. What about the lust of the eyes? He used the lust of the eyes to make you want what you don't have. If you look at things we shouldn't look at, it brings about wrong desires in our hearts. See, he wants you to look at what others have and believe that it's okay for you to have it too. Think of all the platforms that are out there that people view that drive you to be dissatisfied with what you have and want something more. And there's a lot of them. Social media in general. Pinterest, TV shows about people buying new and bigger houses and homes. Satan wants you to believe that it's not a want. It's a need. It's a need. You need this. You deserve it. You've earned it. Take it. It's all yours. God wants you to have it all. The same thing that Adam and Eve bought into in the garden. The same thing. Satan wants your heart to grow in the way of coveting, which God's word actually says that is idolatry. Never satisfied. Never content, always wanting more. See, he wants you to lust with the eyes and turn these material possessions into idols that consume your time, that consume your abilities, that consume your heart's devotion. Think about that for a moment. Can anyone here argue with what the world does to bring about the lust of the eyes? What about the pride of life? Entitlement. Being prideful and believing that we deserve something. We deserve nothing. Yet God has already given us everything in Christ. We often think as Americans that people just love America. You know, when you go to other countries and you ask questions and do surveys about what they think about America, there's one overarching thing. Actually, one word that comes every single time. Pride. We believe we are a pride people. Satan wants you to think so highly of yourself that you can't think of anything else. You just think of yourself. It's just you. See, the world around us trains us to think about self. And you go out and you must get yours. What's in it for me? How does this affect me? What benefit is this for me? Does anyone care about me? He wants you to be so focused on yourself that you can't begin to think about anyone else. It's all about you. Social media has helped a lot in that. Become more me-focused, more self-absorbed. Satan seeks to deceive and to lie and to use these three tactics to bring about confusion in our lives. He especially wants to put doubt in your mind about God's truth. See, he wants you to believe that we are still in bondage to our sin, and it's impossible for us to overcome it. But again, from God's truth, God's word, we know that's just another one of his lies. We've been crucified with Christ. Our sin has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross, and we have power in the Holy Spirit who now lives in us to overcome our flesh. Satan wants to convince you that wrong is right and right is wrong. He wants you to justify sinful attitudes and behaviors, thinking they are acceptable and that you have the right to act that way. Because everybody knows this. He wants to give you a false standard to measure your life by. Well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. He wants to distract you from God's truth. He doesn't want you to be in the Word of God at all. He doesn't want you to, he wants you to be so distracted that you can't get into his truth and see truth and promises and God's clear word giving us direction and guidance and hope. He doesn't want that. He wants us to attack each other. Because he knows what Jesus said. They will know that you are my disciples by the way you love each other. You see, Satan knows that if he can divide us, he can easily steal God's glory. It's why God's word commands us to be eager to maintain unity. You have to work at it. We have to continue to work at it. Just like we have to continue to be alert and be on guard. In today's world, we're surrounded by things that tempt our flesh. And we have to be alert. We have to be on guard every day. We must have a sound mind, he says, which means our minds are under control. They're controlled and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Only then will we see and understand from a biblical perspective. Being sober-minded also means that we have enough understanding not to blame everything on Satan, such as headaches, flat tires, and high gas prices. Satan's our enemy, and his deception is real, and he has greatly influenced the world that we live in. But in Christ, we're no longer a slave to him or our sin. For the most part, we battle with our own flesh. And when we fall, it's our own fault. James tells us that in James 1:14. Each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. We will all be held accountable for our own sinful choices. There's consequences for those. You see, this reminds us that we are weak in the flesh and that we need God's help. Just like the lion looks for that weak animal to prey on, so does Satan. He wants you to be alone. He will tempt you into believing lies about yourself that go against God's promises for you. And you'll begin to believe those lies, and your life will be led by those lies. We have to remember that anything that comes into our mind that is contrary to the truth of God's word is a lie and comes from Satan's deceptive nature. Which brings us to the verse 9 here, what we learned here. Resist and believe the word of God. Look at verse 9. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. In Christ, we're able to resist the enemy. It's our faith and trust in the victory of Christ that helps us stand strong against the lies and deception of the enemy. As we learn, lies are Satan's chief weapon. Therefore, we must counteract Satan's lies with God's truth. Just as Jesus did in the desert, when each of Satan's three main tactics, Jesus used God's truth, God's word, to combat the enemy, to combat his lies, his deception, his temptations, and he overcame. To resist Satan firm in the faith, as he says here, in his verse, means to stand strong on the word of God and refuse to be moved. I will not move from the word of God. It is my foundation. It is truth for my life. I believe it to be true, and I will not be moved from that. Which means that we need to know the word of God. How easy it would be for the enemy to take advantage of those who don't know what God's word says. Who don't know what God promises them. Who don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God without error? What truth or foundation do you have then to stand on? Nothing. If you remember back when we went through deeply. He loved God's word. He treasured it. He loved it. He went to God's truth every time. He was bombarded with temptations and evil attacks that he faced, and he had victory over it. Because God's word, God's truth, gave him the strength to make it through. It also reminds me of David when he fought the giant. He went into that battle, and he took his stand against the enemy, trusting in the name of Jehovah to fight these battles. We go into battle, taking our stand, trusting in the victorious name of Jesus and what he did on the cross. We put our faith in him to fight our battles. We trust in what he says over what we think or what the enemy says. This is how we resist and stand firm against the enemy. God has not left his children alone to fight this spiritual battle. As 1 Peter 2:9 states, he has called us out of darkness, that's where we used to be without Christ. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about that. You were in darkness, but now you've been called into his kingdom of light, his marvelous light, and by his word and his power, he is shining his light around us, illuminating the darkness and bringing light to our path, to our way of life. God's word is a light to our path. And in fact, he comes to live in us, right? So we're protected and guarded by God himself. I want you to listen to this. If that's not enough, when Jesus warned Peter about the temptations that were going to come, about the enemy, do you know what he told Peter next? He said this. He said, "But I have prayed for you." He said, "But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." See, the Bible tells us that Jesus intercedes from the throne of God for us. From heaven, he's interceding for you, just like he did with Peter in those days. Romans 8:34. Jesus is interceding for you, that your faith may not fail, that you would have strength and courage to press on, that you would draw near to him, that you would take hold of the spiritual power and weapons that he's given you to fight the enemy. Jesus is interceding for you. He's saying, "I'm praying for you." He also works in our lives just as he did in Peter's life. He continued using Peter for his plans and purposes, even though Peter was tempted and failed and even denied that he knew Christ. That's pretty bad. He restored Peter. He strengthened his faith and he used him in a mighty way. God does the same thing in our life. Don't think, "You know what, I don't deserve to serve. I can't do it. You know what I've done in my past?" God redeems. He restores. He strengthens our faith and puts us on the right path and leads and guides us. Also, we sometimes like to think, "You know what? I'm the only one facing this battle. No one is experiencing what I am experiencing. No one can understand what I am going through." Oh, how Satan loves that. Oh, he loves to hear those words. His desire is to separate you from others, to make you feel alone, to make you think that you can get what you need without the church, without God, without his word. That's what he wants. That's why he says in verse 9, "Know that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Your brothers and sisters are facing the same kinds of things that you are. The same kinds of struggles that you're going through. The same types of persecution that you're going through. You are not alone in this battle. That's why fellowship and community with the body of Christ is so important. I want you to hear this. We cannot get what we need to grow spiritually in our walk and actually be obedient to God without the body of Christ. You can't. God designed it that way. You need the body of Christ. It's part of your spiritual growth. There's so many commands in the Bible that he wants us to walk in obedience to, and without the body of Christ, we can't. When we're obedient to invest in the lives of others, share with them, listen to one another, you know what happens? This has been happening every Wednesday night in our prayer time. as we come together, we listen to what's going on in each other's lives, and we pray for each other personally, you realize, I'm not alone in this. There are other people who understand. There are other people who are going through the same things. How did you fight this battle? How did you win that? Let me pray for you. Let me help carry your burden. Let me lift you up. Let me encourage you with prayer, with encouragement, truth from God's Word. This is what the body of Christ is about. We need to understand that we cannot fight the devil on our own. We cannot stand against his attacks in our own strength, especially if we're alone. Satan is one of the most powerful angels God ever created, and we don't want to take that for granted. We need our Lord Jesus Christ to stand on our behalf. We need his power and his sufficiency. Our faith must be in him and his victory over him. We must trust in him and what he says above all else. Therefore, we need to know what he says. Faith in God's word helps us win the battle against deception and the lies of the enemy. God's truth helps us be alert to what is truly, listen, what is truly going on in the world around us. Not what the enemy would like to make us think is going on. See, Satan puts forth a lot of smoke and mirrors to distract us from what God is telling us in his word that is going on. He does that so that he can bring about loss of hope in our minds, in our lives. And we get all like tossed around like the waves of the ocean. We don't know what's up and what's down. Because we believe this deception. Because we've taken our eyes off of God's truth. You see, God's truth helps us recognize the enemy, see through the deception. God exposes the true enemy and how he works behind the scenes to deceive. We realize that people in our community are not our enemy. People who live in this country are not our enemy. People live in the Middle East, not our enemy. Satan's our enemy. When we realize that, you know what happens? God helps us see those people the way he sees them. We begin to have more compassion and love for those who are walking according to the ways of this world, the ways of the enemy. We're able to have more compassion to those who are blinded by him and cannot see and understand the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. God's truth helps us resist the temptation of the enemy and stand firm against his attacks. We must treasure his word and never stop learning about him. Never stop learning about his ways. We must hold tightly to the word of God. Put our faith in him and what he says. Only then will we be prepared and strong enough to stand against the spiritual battles. In the coming weeks, we're going to continue to learn more about the victory that we have over the enemy. We're also going to learn about the spiritual weapons that God has so graciously given us so that we can live our lives in victory every single day. As the worship team comes, let's take this time to pray and ask the Lord for help in the way of faith. Ask the Lord. He wants to strengthen your faith. Just like he's praying for Peter. He wants to strengthen your faith. Ask him right now. Say, Lord, faith is weak. I need you to strengthen my faith in what you say. Pray to you that we would take this serious and we would be more alert to the enemy's deception. Pray that we would better discipline our lives and set aside time to be with God, to listen to him through his word. Pray that we will believe his word, not the lies that we hear in the word, not our own human thinking, but God's word, God's truth. Pray that God's word will be the true foundation and wisdom that we hold on to in our marriage as we raise our children and everything else in our life. There is great, great victory in Christ. Hear this. There is great, great victory in Christ for those who follow him and walk in his ways. Extraordinary. Victory over the enemy and so, so much more. Seek the Lord this morning. Listen to what